Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When we had the first miscarriage, I think I was going into it feeling like I want to stay really fit. I still have like my own personal goals and I'm going to do my thing. And I think if you ask any doctor, they would say like, you probably didn't cause a miscarriage, right. But I can remember there being like a time in my head where I'm like, God, I don't know if I should have been working out in that heat or if I shouldn't, maybe I shouldn't have been running that much or I don't know, you know, like, and I'm, yeah. I have moments where I'm questioning it. And so after that, when we got pregnant, Ben, the thing he told me that kept resonating in my head was like, just whatever you do, like you, like if it's a question, it's not safe.
We are here because we know the outcomes in our lives are within our control. That taking absolute ownership of how we eat, sleep, train, think, and connect with each other is how we'll optimize our health and happiness. That chasing excellence is how we grab hold of what is possible. Our mission is to live on the run, always chasing, never stopping. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Chasing Excellence. We are joined today by a special guest. How are you, Heather?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. We brought you in because I've been getting a lot of questions from listeners as it relates to pregnancy and where fitness and nutrition meet pregnancy. And as much as Ben has lots of good answers, I thought perhaps you might have better answers as it relates to this. So we wanted to bring you in. I've got some listener questions. We'll put them in where I see fit there. But I wanted to start with just a little bit of context to you because you're in a really unique position where you had two kids. How many years ago now? What's Jonah now? 15?
Jonah's 15. Maya is 19.
Okay, so you've got two kids there, and then Bodhi and Harley are in the 5 to 7. So you had this really big gap, and knowing you as I do, I know that your life changed quite a bit from set one to set two, for lack of a better term. So I wanted to start just with a sense of, like, how did you go into Maya and Jonah, your first kids? What was your life like? What was your thinking around pregnancy, but fitness and nutrition as it related to pregnancy? And did it change, or how did it change going in with Bodhi and Harley? Like, what did you learn between the sets of kids that you implemented the second time around that maybe you just didn't know, or you just believed something different the first time?
The first time I was a group exercise instructor. And so I did a lot of, and I was just coming off of like a marathon. So I don't want to call it a career, but I was running a lot of long distance and doing like lots of aerobics classes and like hip hop dance classes. Like I was just like doing a lot of spin, like all that stuff. And so that was great because it kept me active every day. But I don't think I was very strong at all. Like I didn't place any importance on that. And so I was just kind of like, if I'm just moving a lot all day, then I'm in good shape. And I also was not I wasn't focusing a lot of energy on nutrition. I was just kind of doing what everybody said was like the healthy thing to eat and, right. You know, whatever like the news said that day. Now moving forward to like where Bodhi was and when I was pregnant with him, it was totally different. You know, I think I placed more importance on strength over cardio, but still did a little bit of everything all the time. And nutrition was everything. Mm. I remember I think it was with Bodhi, but we were doing like a nutrition challenge at our gym. And I think if you went by the numbers, like I would have won the whole thing. You know, it was like I ate really well, but as soon as I got pregnant with him, it was like it ticked over into this place where this is the only time I will ever have 100% control over what goes in this kid's body.
Right.
And so that was like all the motivation I needed to like completely clear up my diet. you know, because so much is happening. Like they're growing like a brain and like right. like major organs, and it's, you know,
and even
it's
minor
like
organs.
Yeah, both like all the organs, you know, and it, like it's 100%. Like Ben is not responsible for how those things grow at all. It's like right. all me, and so. Like I think that a lot of times we kind of go the opposite direction when we're pregnant, and we're kind of like, we go like lax on everything. We're kind of like, yeah, I have these cravings and like, it's the only time that I can let loose. So I'm going to let loose. And I kind of like completely felt the opposite. Like, I mean, I eat really well all the time, but that I wouldn't be able to keep that up right now. Like I don't have the motivation to do it. You know, I had the motivation when I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was really important for things like allergies when they were born and, just like all sorts of things. So right. that was really, it was more important to me than anything else when I was pregnant with the second two.
Okay, cool. So I want to break this conversation, into what feels like logical buckets. First is, before pregnancy, and considerations there during pregnancy and then postpartum. I was joking before recording. I think this is the only episode that we're going to do that I feel compelled to say, nobody here is a doctor. this is just advice that we're giving based on, you know, your collective experience. But that folks should certainly talk to a doctor or talk to somebody who, if they have questions, specifics around that. So I want to start with, pre-pregnancy. We got some questions about, you know, I am considering or I'm trying to get pregnant. What should I do, or what has Heather done to set yourself up for success, for lack of a better term, in terms of nutrition and fitness? Is there any advice that you would give to those individuals, those women or those couples who are saying, okay, we're going to try, therefore that means I should be doing X, Y, and Z?
So I don't think if I were to try to get pregnant, which I am not trying to get pregnant,
oh dear God.
But
I feel a little bit nervous even just talking about
maybe
this.
Maybe you should leave.
Because she might be like, yeah, maybe we should.
Maybe we should
break
up. Or
it might just like happen somehow. There's like the talk of like acting, like
I'm
talking
sweating.
About it.
Oh God. No. So there's nothing like if people are asking me like if I would start taking more zinc or if I would start, like, I don't know anything about stuff like that. All I know is that when you get pregnant, the advice is always, and I think this is good advice, like you should not start anything new, you know, when you're pregnant. So that makes a lot of sense to me. So I would say if you're thinking about getting pregnant, and if you think that like when you're pregnant, you'd like to be doing yoga or you'd like to be doing more running, like I would say, think ahead to that and then start doing it before you get pregnant, you know, so that it's not new when all of a sudden you're trying to also adapt to all these new feelings in your body and like your joints aren't stable. And like, if you just start things when you're in the middle of pregnancy, like you don't know if your joints are stable or not, you know? So, there's that, but I also kind of think of it as like, if you think that you're going to be getting pregnant, like you should be priming your body for that now. So like, if you want to, have a strong like pregnancy and you want to like be able to maintain a healthy diet, like get it started now so that once you do get pregnant, like it's already in place. Mm-hmm. It's hard to like get pregnant, be like, okay, now I'm going to clean up my diet.
Right.
It's, you know, it's like anything else, you know? So get it, like get ready for it beforehand so that when it is game time, like you're already there.
You've already built some of the habits maybe.
Yeah.
What about something as simple as, focusing on getting stronger, like literally like do more squats, do more deadlifts. Do you see any benefit in somebody, paying more attention to that in, you know, the days prior to getting pregnant? Is there any value in, just simply being stronger?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that like, you could say that about anything, but yeah, I think that, you know, again, it's not a time to like, when you're pregnant, it's not a time to like test out your strength really, but it's a time to maintain strength.
Yep.
And so if you can get your strength up beforehand, then you can try to maintain that. So the higher your strength is going into it, you're just maintaining a higher level, you know? But I will say like weird things happen in pregnancy. I remember I was doing, you know, you gain so much weight. So I think with Bodhi, I probably gained like, I don't know, either one of them, it was like 20 to 40 pounds that I gained. And I was not doing a lot of like kipping movements. And, so I wasn't like kipping handstand pushups and I wasn't kipping pull-ups. I was doing everything strict, like burpees. I was doing pushups instead of like a drop to the floor and all that. So I had built up this like weird pressing strength. And one day, I think I was probably like 7 months pregnant. We were doing strict presses in class, and all of a sudden, like, I did a press and somebody was like, "Oh my God, I think that's your PR." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And it was my PR. I didn't even know what weight was on the bar. It just went right up, and somebody saw my number on the board. And so like weird things like that can happen without you trying, and it's safe. I think it's safe because I wasn't even like trying to go for something heavy. So I don't know. I think that the strength thing, maybe you have something to say about
that.
We've
talked a lot about, conditioning based programming versus strength, right? And does that change at all? Or do you believe that like even more conditioning makes more sense than worrying about strength?
Yeah, I think that the best thing we can do in any scenario, whether you're trying to get pregnant or not, is optimize your body for health.
Yep.
So I think that for a power lifter, because we said work on strength, to continue to work on their strength, it probably is not the right focus. The idea would be, what is the limiting factor? And let's double down on that to try to bring up whatever that is, because that's going to put you in a position for the greatest health being work capacity across broad time, multiple domains, across your age, right? So like the more work capacity you have, like essentially the healthier you are. Let's find whatever that limiter is. And if you're really, really strong, but you have trouble running a 9 minute mile, it might be time to try to get healthier and try to run a little bit.
Right.
The second thing that kind of like it probably fairly unique to us, we had trouble getting pregnant with Bodhi. And what might be unique to us is we tried a lot of different things. And when we tried acupuncture, we both feel really confident that acupuncture really made a difference for us.
Interesting.
Don't you agree with that?
I do. I'm trying to think.
Did you
clearly.
Both get acupuncture or
no? Just.
I think there was, I think it was a combination of like the acupuncture and the timing of all of it and the way, just the mindset of that whole field, you know, and it was kind of, what happened was we had a miscarriage. We tried for a long time to get pregnant. We had a miscarriage. So we finally got pregnant. We were super excited. We had a miscarriage. And then I started going to acupuncture and the woman was like, okay, so we're going to do this stuff, but I think you should take like a few months and just let your body like get back to normal. Just give it time and try not to get pregnant for 3 months. And I was like, oh, okay. And it's kind of like with a lot of people, once you take that layer of stress off of you, it just kind of like things can move better. I believe in that. I do believe that like, you know, you like whatever is going on inside your body, like you, like energies are moving better and everything. And all of a sudden, like you relax the stress and all of a sudden you can get pregnant.
Right.
So we got pregnant very quickly and I kind of like freaked out. I called her. I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. What do I do? And she's like, you wanted to get pregnant, you know? And I'm like, but you told me not to get pregnant. So, I don't know if it was the acupuncture or just the whole mindset of don't get pregnant right now. And I think that happens to a lot of people when you know, they're told that they just don't do it now. And then all of a sudden it happens.
Yeah. Okay. So, pregnancy happens. We're in the gym. And I know that, like a lot of these things that we talk about, the real answer, well, it kind of depends, but generally speaking, how have you both approached, CrossFit and pregnancy, both Ben, from your perspective as the coach, as the gym owner, making sure you're kind of looking at it globally and making sure that nobody's slipping through the cracks and nobody's doing anything not smart. And Heather, obviously from her personal experience, how did you go into that? What kind of mindset did you have going into that? What did you set up for yourself as expectations? What did you say, we're not going to do that or we're going to do that?
So when we had the first miscarriage, I think I was going into it feeling like I want to stay really fit. I still have like my own personal goals and I'm going to do my thing. And I think if you ask any doctor, they would say like, you probably didn't cause a miscarriage, but I can remember there being like a time in my head where I'm like, God, I don't know if I should have been working out in that heat or if I shouldn't, maybe I shouldn't have been running that much or I don't know, you know, like, and I have moments where I'm questioning it. And so after that, when we got pregnant, Ben, the thing he told me that kept resonating in my head was like, just whatever you do, like if it's a question, it's not safe. Mm. You know, so if you're standing there thinking like, is this weight too heavy? Don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, like if it even crosses your mind that it's not safe, then you're going to like look back. If something happens, you're going to look back and be like, God, I wonder if it was that one time. And again, it's probably like, it's like for people that go through miscarriages, the anguish of having to look back and like go through everything and be like, was it that? It's like, it probably doesn't happen, but you just don't want to live with anything in your head. It's just a safe, it's like a comfort, you know, to know that like whatever you're doing, it's not that if it's going to cause something.
Mm-hmm. Ben, what about from your perspective, how have you helped? I mean, obviously you've had pregnant women in the gym before. How do you go about making sure that they're getting the experience that they need? At least as much as you can, as the gym, provide that.
Yeah, we have like an epidemic of babies popping out at the gym right now. It's
insane. So I'm not going to the gym anymore.
Yeah, so Heather's not allowed to go there anymore because
she can't drink the water.
Yeah, she might get pregnant.
Yep, she can't go to the parking lot.
Definitely don't go on bike number 8. That's the one that seems to be doing it.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
So we've more recently than when Heather was pregnant, that was kind of like, there wasn't a lot of pregnancies going on. So it was really new. Now we've kind of experienced this and seen this a lot, and people training right through their pregnancies. Heather, for all of her pregnancies, was training right up until literally the day she delivered.
Yeah.
And the baby just like popped out. Like it wasn't much of a labor at all. But here's the things that some really quick kind of like overarching parameters is things that have potential for falling. Mm-hmm. We kind of take those things out, you know, particularly as you get later on, like you just don't want somebody falling and like falling on a box and like that, you know, getting some sort of like a bruise or something like that. So rope climbs, box jumps, those things kind of, as we get farther into the pregnancy, definitely get weaned off.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other kind of like overarching themes is not getting hypoxic. So this is the way we do it, and as you said before, we're not doctors, and I think that every doctor you talk to is also going to have a different set of, you know, protocols and standards. But what we say is like, don't get super hypoxic. That means like, don't be like gasping for air. So other doctors might say that's fine, but we just don't think the risk and the reward is there. We want them to stay working out consistently. And the way we do that is we'll kind of go for volume over intensity. So if it's a workout that might just take like 3 or 4 minutes, but is a just like smasher where you're laid on the floor after Fran. So instead of doing Fran and trying to match your PR of a sub 3 minute, which we know what that feels like afterwards, and you get Fran cough for 9 hours, what we might do is we might turn that into an AMRAP 10 on, or an EMOM 10 of on the minute, some thrusters and some pull-ups. And we'll play with the volume play instead of the intensity play. We have somebody pregnant at the gym right now, and I just coached her through a workout, and we're doing, it's a really high breathing workout today. So what we do is it's rowing, bike, and a gymnastics movement. So I just told her, don't go below this pace on the rower. It was for meters, so time. Don't go below this pace. Don't go above this pace on the bike. And for the gymnastics movement, just kind of move through it methodically. And basically putting constraints for her specifically of what I know is doable for her. Mm-hmm. She just did the open workout. We just did 20.2. Mm-hmm. And I gave her, she's really fit, but said like, basically let's go every minute and 15, which she has the capacity to do that in 45 or 50 seconds.
Yep.
So now she got 17 rounds. Feels like she got a great workout, but we're also like totally within the constraints of what might be her upper limits.
Right. How do you, I'm sure you've both experienced this conversation, but how do you approach somebody who says, I just got pregnant, so I won't be coming to the gym anymore? How do you start to bring somebody along? Somebody who likes CrossFit, buys in, is a member, but thinks for whatever reason that CrossFit and pregnancy, they're somehow not conducive to each other. How do you talk about it in such a way that they can understand that there's actually not, it's not dangerous to do these types of things while you're pregnant?
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't talk to them about it. If they're like, I'm pregnant, I'm going to take some time off, then it's like, awesome. We'll be here ready for you. We'll ramp you back up when you get back, because God forbid something did go wrong and there was a miscarriage, I don't want to be at the end of a finger point of being like, he said it was safe.
Yeah.
He said this, and we all know it's safe.
Right.
Right. But it's the same thing of like, what's the risk? What's the reward? And if they have that belief system in them, I don't want to change the belief system.
Right.
I want to be ready for them when they're ready, but I don't want to change what they believe in. Cause this could be like ingrained for years and years, their whole lives. This could have been ingrained. And for me to try to shift that, have that paradigm shift in moments and minutes and seconds of like, no, this is safe. And I'm going like, really? And I'm going through every single thing, second guessing.
Mm.
It's not worth it for me to go through that.
Interesting. What about you, Heather, from your perspective? I imagine that you've had conversations like that before. Do you, maybe the better question is, do you get a sense from people that there is a disconnect between whether CrossFit while pregnant is safe? And if you do, like, how have you talked about that before?
Yeah, I don't feel like I've ever heard that comment. Like, and at least I've never heard of people being in the gym and then getting pregnant and being like, all right, so now I'm going to stop. Like, for most people, like, they just want to hear how to, like, adjust things.
Yeah. I think that's a misnomer that's we've outgrown.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that most people, all of our members, no one says that. I've never actually had that conversation.
Cool.
But if somebody did come up to me and say that, that would be my response.
Yeah, interesting.
Most of them all go like, so what should I do?
Right.
So
now if you want to talk about my mom, when you get pregnant, my mom's like, you shouldn't be doing all that. You know, like the people outside of CrossFit definitely have, I remember I got like hate mail. Yep. I used to get hate mail from people, like crazy, like anonymously written letters, like how like I was like killing my baby and it was crazy. But like
terrible,
outside of CrossFit.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah. Like it was, like weird handwriting and like very
creepy.
Yeah. But so outside of CrossFit, I don't think people really trust it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that, you know, like we did a lot of work finding, we had a physician friend who is one of my closest friends, still is one of my closest friends. And I went to her and I said, do you know any obstetricians that would be like somebody who I could talk to and somebody who knows what we do. And so she gave me a list of like 3 to 5 of them. And then I reached out to all of those and then I met with them and found the one or two that I felt like was compatible with us. We dialed into one of them. Then that was the doctor we went with. She ended up becoming one of our members. And so then we had this great relationship where like she was coming to the gym every day. She knew what workouts we were doing. She saw what I was doing. And she was able to, I was able to say to her like, so how do you feel about handstand pushups? And she's like, I literally have never gotten that question before. So I guess try it and see what it feels like.
Yeah.
And I think only one time did she came in, I was doing a photo shoot for someone and they had me like belted with like a kettlebell around my waist doing like pull-ups, like weighted pull-ups. And she came in, she gave me eyes. She was like, nah. I was like, okay, and we're done.
I think that was my fault because I think the photo shoot was for Again Faster.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because I remember the photos?
No, but I paid the people to come do that. So I remember that. I remember that photo. It was a good photo.
Yeah. So I think that with stuff like that, usually the only time I've ever heard of somebody in CrossFit stopping training when they're working out is because their doctor put them on like bed rest or something like that. And that's the same thing. It's like that when a doctor says something like that, I'm like, you should do what your doctor says.
Right.
You know, because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. So what about postpartum? What adjustments, again, I'll kind of throw it to you from both of your perspectives, Ben, I'll go to you first, but when somebody comes back to the gym and says, you know, and it's obviously a couple of weeks or, you know, maybe the question is how long, but how do you ramp them back up into regular CrossFit as whatever you would call regular CrossFit? What does that transition back into the gym look like? Is it similar to what it looked like while they were pregnant where every day you're like, okay, well, let's tweak this and do that?
Yeah, it would be the same answer if anybody's coming back from any sort of injury, illness, vacation, whatever it might be. And the severity and the length of time away kind of dictates the ramp back up, right? So giving birth's a pretty big deal. Like it's not a small thing. So the first thing is to put up, I think, this kind of the expectations. You know, we were talking about this weekend, but that quote of like, happiness is expectations minus reality. Mm-hmm. So if you think that you're going to be back in 3 weeks and month three, you're not back, like you're kind of pissed.
Yeah.
Where if someone explains to you, like, listen, it was 9 months to get to here. It might take 9 months to get back. Let's kind of use that trajectory to be like the measuring stick of like where we are. Then all of a sudden they get 3 months into this and they're ahead of the curve, then they're psyched.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to put up the expectations of like, you're not, we don't want, like, forget about whether you are or not. We don't want to be pushing you to try to be where you were pre-pregnancy in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we use the same kind of protocol, which is volume over intensity, layering it back in appropriately. And that becomes all like the small things that Heather could probably speak to better, but like, was it a C-section? Was it a more traditional birth? And the kind of the considerations you have to take for actual specific movements in terms of that, from like, you know, toes to bars to Valsalva and loading and things like that.
And how do you work with your coaches to make sure that they have a sense of that kind of degree of appropriateness?
We have every coach get pregnant or get someone pregnant. They nice. Love that part of the onboarding process.
Oh my God. You're going to have to shut down, Stephanie. Like, what are you saying?
I like when you offend Heather.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Oh my God.
But do you feel like, do you do anything in particular for your coaches so that they have a better sense of how to guide? Cause you're not
class. We just kind of give these overarching principles and guidelines for these things. Let's stay away from things that might fall. Let's work on the Valsalva. Let's not get people hypoxic. Here's good substitutes for these. So it's kind of the overarching, and then we give ownership to each coach to how to deal with each person specifically, because the true answer to every question we ask regarding fitness or nutrition or anything is depends.
Yeah, right. Heather, from your perspective or from your experience, what did that period postpartum, what did that look like for you? What worked, maybe what didn't work? And what advice would you give?
I'm going to answer, we've learned a lot. Go ahead.
Well, one time we were in this situation with our team when our gym was really competitive and we needed me to get back on the team really quickly. Yep. I think we had Bodhi in May and the games are in July or were in July. And
she competed at the CrossFit Games. I think I remember 3 months. Yeah. What is that?
May, June, July.
Two months. Yeah. 2 months after giving birth, Heather competed.
So, you know, I think the general plan from a doctor is like, you know, in the first 2 weeks, like you'll work up to going for a 30 minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 2 weeks, then you can start to go for like a mile walk and like a brisker pace. So Ben was like, all right, so I don't want you to get off the couch for 2 weeks at all. Like you cannot get up. And I was like, okay. And then he's like, at 2 weeks, you're going to come into the gym and I have a plan for you. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay. So his idea is that if he keeps me on the couch, then I'll recover faster than the average person. And so I walk in the gym and I think my first workout was like an AMRAP 20 of like 20 wall balls, a 400 meter run, and like 30 double unders. And like
just like Metcon gas pedal
and like jumping and like everything's like nothing's together inside of me. I was like, whatever. I mean, it's coach. Like you don't question coach. And
we've learned a lot.
On his side, he's like, I didn't know what I was doing, you know? And I'm just like, I just put all my trust in him. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I never had a kid. So that was not great. So we did it differently the second time. But I don't know. I think it's just you gotta be super patient. You gotta realize like you're not winning a race if you're going fast. Like you're gonna end up hurting things inside, and it's like every other injury. If you come back too quick, you're gonna end up taking that much longer to get back to where you started in the first place. So you gotta try to pull it together and just be patient with the whole
process. I really like that kind of idea, that thought experiment, just kind of going through your head all the time, like the slowest steps forward are better than any steps back. Mm. Like just take no steps back. And it doesn't matter how slow you're going forward, you're moving towards your goals. It's once you take that step back and now you have to take another 2 weeks off. That's from any injury. This is kind of like the principle we wanted to go with. But going back to like what's really crazy looking back on it is between events at the CrossFit Games, Heather's breastfeeding our 2-year-old, our 2-month-old mm-hmm. in the athlete warm-up area. It's like
under a table. It was like unbelievable.
There's the water station. I go underneath the water station, and my mom would have Bodhi like in the stands in a stroller, just walking around the venue. And then between events, she would find us. We pass them off. Yeah. Bodhi would come into the athlete area, like breastfeed at like underneath the water station
while the team's warming up.
Yeah, you don't have that much time. Like it's not like there's 4 hours. It's like, quick, get in here. Okay, switch the boob. Get him on the other side. Quick. Burp. Good. Pass him off. Okay. Get back out there. We have event six.
Like a pit stop.
We got to do the worm thing. Go. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't imagine a lot of people have that experience. Okay. So last question for you, Heather, is resources that you might point people towards, books, websites, whatever, that maybe you found some value in, whether it was pre, during pregnancy or postpartum. Do you have anything that you would point people towards for more information or more sort of stuff that you figured out for yourself?
Yeah. So I've always felt like books are dangerous when it comes to like pregnancy. Mm. It's just like there's so many opinions. Nobody agrees with anyone. Like, you should eat deli meat. You shouldn't eat deli meat. You should take zinc. I don't even know what the... So we found that, I think that really investing your time in finding the right doctor that you can get to, like, you can access, you can call them. They are around somehow. Like, you can just talk to them as much as possible. That's the best way to go. And I would just, like, trust yourselves and your own intuition. Trust this, like, doctor person or somebody else that has had, like, 8 kids or whatever it is. You know, like, trust them. And, like, that, like, a book is very dangerous. I just don't think it's super useful. It makes you crazy.
In the process of finding that person, that whether it's doctor or midwife or whatnot, is it important that they understand and they're like, okay, I get that you're going to do CrossFit throughout this. You're going to eat paleo, whatever it is. Totally fine. And then go from there, or versus like find a doctor who's a great doctor, but when you tell them you're going to go do thrusters, they're like, you're going to kill the baby.
Yeah.
Is that a big part of that process of finding that right individual, is making sure that they're aligned at least generally in
the philosophy? Yeah. I mean, you don't want to do the whole like buffet, whatever that is, like all you can eat buffet kind of thing. You pick and choose the things that I don't think it's that, but I think that like you got to find somebody that you are going to be comfortable being honest with. Yeah. You know, like if I know I'm going to want to exercise regularly and I know I want to do CrossFit. So like I'm going to like find somebody that is, you know, just going to like, I'm going to have to lie to all the time,
right.
Or I can find somebody who I can be honest with and like take their opinion and say, all right, well, I trusted, like, I listened to you on this and I didn't listen to you on this, you know, like I think you just have to be like, find somebody who can be honest with.
Got it. Were you going to say something before I cut you off? Or are you good?
Nope.
Nope.
The internet is a phenomenal source. Just Google it.
I do think there's like a fair number of like, if I were going to be pregnant, which I am not.
Second
like,
time she
I
said.
Would probably find some CrossFit women that have blogs going or something and that I can like reach out and ask a question to here and there. And somebody who I feel like there's a lot of value in that. You know, it's like a bunch of women online that are going through the same thing as you are or did recently, and they've had similar experiences. I think that actually that part of the internet is really helpful. What I don't think is like the magazines and all that. Like I would stay far away from that.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in, Heather, for answering questions that Ben and I probably couldn't answer. We will see everybody next week. You can get every episode of Chasing Excellence wherever you listen to your podcasts or on YouTube. Until next time, thank you for listening.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.